Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I was thinking about today, you know, with all the things that have happened to us, not having worship last week, you know, fighting the storm, we all have a lot of cleanup to do. But we have seen a lot of people helping. Gene shared a story with me that they cooked spaghetti for everybody in his neighborhood last night. You know, the thing is, I think things like this bind us together more than anything else. Anybody say thank you last night? Anybody say thank you to you last night? See what I'm getting at? You know, the power of a thank you. Well, I can just say thank you. Well, you know, in today's world, we've sort of lost the social graces of saying please and thank you. You know, maybe the storm in some respects is a blessing to us. All right, you can say, has the pastor lost his mind? Well, could be. But you know, the thing is, it forces a generation that relies solely on video games and television, social media, finally to have to talk face-to-face with somebody. What a novel concept. I've told you this story before, but I want to embellish this, give you the full story. Oh, 25 years ago, I judged the Nevada State Concertman Championships. And when we flew, of all things, from Phoenix, I flew over the Pacific Ocean to come into Oakland to change planes to go to Reno, Nevada. Now, tell me that makes sense. You know, I looked down and I said, hey, I'm over an ocean. You know, I didn't realize that. So anyway, I had a holdover, maybe 3-4 hours. And so I'm sitting there and nature calls, so I went to the bathroom. And in the Oakland airport, they have these men's rooms that are simply urinals and no stalls. So I go in, and there was myself and maybe an 8-9-year-old boy in there. He really had to go. But he couldn't reach the urinal. And there's no stalls. And he said to me, mister, I really need some help. Could you help me? I said, of course. What do you want me to do? He said, can you lift me up so I can reach the urinal? Well, I had to look around and see if Groucho Marx and the rest of the Marx brothers were around. Wouldn't that be a great movie at that point? And I told him, I'll try. So I lifted him up by the arms. Okay? That didn't work because he couldn't get his fly. You know, oh, that's not. So I set him back down. Mister, we got to do this differently. Could you lift me under my arms? Well, okay, we'll try that. You know, so here I am. I'm judging at a major university. I got a suit on. I got a doctorate, a musical arts degree, and I'm picking up a kid underneath his arms so we can go pee-pee. Interesting concept, isn't it? Well, he didn't manage to get his fly open, but as he started doing his business, because I was holding him that way, he was painting the walls, the floor, everything else. So I lifted my knee and put him up on him to sort of help, and it steadied everything. He was able to go to the bathroom. You know, boy, if we had a video there, that would have been a $100,000 moment on Funniest Home Videos. Then after I got him out, he said, gee, thanks a lot, mister. I really appreciate it. You're the best. And I'm going, oy vey. But, you know, I was glad I was able to help. I mean, we've all been in that position where we got to go. There's no way to get to a bathroom. Well, that doesn't happen every day, does it? So I washed my hands, went back out, and sat down. And then I saw a woman coming up towards me with her boy in tow. And I thought, oh, my God, now I'm going to get in trouble over this. But no, she was really nice. She was exceedingly grateful that I had helped her boy. And then she told me her story. They were on their way to Los Angeles because her husband had just been killed in Desert Storm, Desert Shield. And he's getting to the age where she couldn't take him into the women's room. So she said, well, just go to the men's room. So he gets in there, and there's no stalls. I mean, he can't reach it. What does he do? And she said, I didn't realize. I haven't been thinking straight. And she says, thank me for helping my son. You know, I just really appreciate it. You know, that's like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. You know, you never know who we touch and the reason that we're touching them. You know, it's those things. I think I've told you this one, too. We'll pick it up and we'll all say hello. But a few years ago, I started teaching in Alta, Iowa. And Alta, Iowa is about 50 miles south of Lake Okoboji, up on the, almost on the Minnesota border. And we had 171 kids in high school. I had 160 in my high school band. So there were 11 kids in the high school that weren't in my band. I had one farm kid by the name of Greg Radke. Greg probably Ben was 6'2", you know, and typical farm kid who had no social graces, you know, was always getting in trouble. And I finally told him, I said, you know, Greg, I've had enough. You're done. Kicked him out of band. Well, go forward 20 years, and I'm up there working at the University College Jazz Camp. And the old railroad station has turned into a sandwich place. It's called Abner Bell's. So I'm sitting in there with the rest of the staff, and we're having lunch and having an adult beverage. And all of a sudden, this shadow comes in the door. Had to turn sideways to get in. Probably 6'6", 6'7". Shoulders. And oh my God, it's Greg Radke. He walks right up to me. You're Mr. Dygert. I said, yep. You kicked my butt out of band. Now that's cleaning it up. That's not what he said. And I said, yep. And I do it again. You know what? That's the first time I was ever held responsible for what I did. It's the best thing that ever happened. Thank you, God. But the thing is, we don't know who we help, what the result is. And the thing is, here, I kicked a kid out of band 20 years earlier, and he just came up and thanked me for doing it. Here, I thought I was another time I was going to have to buy the farm, you know. But those kind of things, the power of a thank you is so important. But many times we hear the thank you and don't know what really is behind the situation. I've been lucky in having two of those. Well, look at our story here. Our gospel touches on the fact that Jesus healed 10 lepers, didn't he? But the thing is, he didn't say, you're healed, now go. He says, go and tell the priests. And as they were going, they became healed. So, only one came back, and he was the Samaritan. Now, we've talked a little bit about Samaria. When Babylon came in and took the city of Jerusalem to Babylon, the area to the north of that is Samaria. Okay? They didn't get taken. So their Judaism was the old style temple Judaism and didn't change to the one that had rabbis and things like that. Okay? So they were the dirty people that were doing it the old way. They were still, you know, taking blood in the chalice and sprinkling it on people. Ooh, that's just a bad way to do this religion. But yet, who was the grateful one? The Samaritan. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Who's the guy that takes care of the person that was beat up on the road? The Samaritan. You know, so you never know who's going to help. But yet, he came back to Jesus. And I think what Jesus said is really interesting. We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? No one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner. And Jesus said to him, rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Well, how can faith make him well? I thought Jesus did that. Well, you know, we look up here, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. Faith alone. Why is faith so important? Well, we have faith, right? How do we have faith? All right, I'm going to store. I want 6 dozen faith today. Doesn't work that way, does it? All right, so what is faith? Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. faith instilled in our heart that faith. You know, that's a hard concept for us to have. I mean, if you've been in the military, you want to have faith in your officers above you, right? Probably more non-coms than anything else. But what happens if you get one you don't have faith in? Then it gets scary, doesn't it? So the thing is, faith is important. Well, so that's not really that definition of faith, is it? Our faith is praising God for what He has done for us. You know, the Catechism says it this way. It tells us, it's a gift that is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. So, is the faith ours or God's? A faith that is thine alone, it's God's. A trust, O Lord, from thee. So, He's entrusting us with His faith. Now, is that powerful now to have faith? Because what is it? It's God residing in you. What happens at our baptism? Oh, well, we didn't set the thing up today. What happens during baptism? It's an exorcism. What is exorcised? The bad spirit. What enters us? The Holy Spirit. We die with Christ, and that was in our reading today. We die, if we die with Him, we will be resurrected and live with Him, right? Okay? And who tells us that? Jesus. I mean, that's not something that's hidden or anything like that. So, a gift that is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Well, when we're giving a blessing, okay, that blessing's coming from a human being, isn't it? But yet, is it coming from God? Remember, I've told you about forgiveness, what Luther says, we have to be a conduit, right? The cross, okay? Cross. I look at the cross, and I see this. Centerpiece, two arms. Where's the centerpiece go? Up. Forgiveness comes from God to us, and then from us out, right? The blessing comes from God to us, and then from us out. So when we give blessing to someone, is it coming from us, or is it coming from God? Coming from God. It's God sharing in our life, and we're sharing God with those around us. Have you ever thought of it that way? You know, it's one of those things I think is really important. And here's where I'm going to talk about Vizcaya Lakes. Dean and I went there right after the hurricane the next morning. And we had trouble getting there because all the roads were blocked. There was water over them. You didn't know it was there. It took us from my house, about 45 minutes to get down in this part because we wanted to check the church. We couldn't get the church because there were a bunch of trees down here. So we walked here, and I couldn't believe it. The church was undamaged. Yeah, it had a couple trees laid on top. And if you notice, we do have a little bit of water damage where we lost some shingles. Is that a miracle? Is it a blessing? And who did the blessing come from? God. You know, we look at this kind of stuff, and what a blessing. And then I look, we went to Vizcaya Lakes. The first house we went to was Jerry's. We went there. Jerry, I couldn't believe it. Both houses on either side of you were destroyed. And Jerry's house looks like nothing happened to it. Huh? Was there stuff inside? Oh, really? But I looked at that, and I couldn't believe it. But even if I got to pull it back, it's still not as bad as the ones on either side. You know, I couldn't believe what is happening. We went then to Jeff and Bev's. They lost a little bit of siding on their west side. Yeah. No, east side. And they lost all their trees. Okay, lost their carport. No structural damage to the house. Ones across the street, I took pictures, are all destroyed. Other ones across the street this way, destroyed. Their house, not destroyed. You know, there's only a few, huh? Do you think that the Holy Spirit had something to do with that, keeping us safe? I would say, too. You know, we lost a corner of our roof up there, and we're still trying to get the water out of the two bedrooms. But we lost the tree in front. We lost our fence, but we didn't lose our house. In fact, I went up there with the – I didn't go up there, but we've had – our neighbor went up and looked at it. That piece of roof that was off had actually just folded over. They picked it up, folded it back. I had put this rubberized stuff on the roof about this thick. It didn't break, so all they did is caulk it where the two parts came together, nailed it back. Our roof's on there protecting it, and it's waterproof. I'm sitting here looking at this. You know, did God take care of us? I think so. You know, we look at these kind of things, and we forget that even in the midst of troubles, tribulations, difficulties, there are still blessings that come to us. And so today, if you've noticed, we start off our first hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." Everything today is about giving thanks. Why? Because we're all sitting here. We didn't lose one single one of us. One of the things I do want to share, I didn't put this down on the prayers. You know, Beverly has his friend, Dorothy, who's 96. Anyway, she just found out yesterday her son-in-law died. She completely lost her house. Her son-in-law is dead, and she was doing pretty good, but she's at the point now, she's had just about enough. Yeah. Yeah. I talked to Pastor Jen, and it's going to be a long time before they're able to have worship down there. And I said, "Pastor Jen, you're welcome to come and join us for worship." I said, "What we could do is we'll split one week. I'll preach. The next week you preach. We could have two offering plates, one for Hope, one for us. You know, we could make this work until you're back in it." And she says, "Well, let me find out." You know, her husband is the bishop, and according, they're not supposed to be able to do that. You know, that's when I get tired of rules. Because of something like this, we do what we have to do. But, you know, something like that happened, they all could get in trouble, and we don't want that to happen either. You know, let us pray today. Lord God, the Holy Spirit, you bless us every day with your grace and the many times we forget to thank you for this blessing. Holy Spirit, thank you for everything you do for us through the gift of your Holy Spirit. And the people of God respond with, "Amen. To God be the glory. Amen."